Welcome back to the Destination Unlocked podcast with me, Daniel Edward.
Just about ready to depart.
Please make sure your seatbelt is not fastened and do make yourself comfortable.
Today on Destination Unlocked, we're going somewhere a little bit closer to home for me. It's in the UK. And the UK is a country which, I must say, I feel gets overlooked for tourism. I'm not talking about London, a lot of people go to London, but beyond London, there is a whole country out there, and let me tell you, it is a gorgeous country. And today we're going to an absolutely spectacular part of the country. It's in the New Forest, which is just to the south coast sort of area, and we're going to be visiting a town called Lymington. And, well, our guide to Lymington couldn't be more enthusiastic about the town. I met Catherine Gosney at an event in London, a travel event, and we got chatting about her travel club, Club 33 Luxury Travel Club, which is a private members travel club which offers exclusive weekly discounts and access to the UK's most exceptional destinations, all in a single email by the week. And it offers these unique deals that you're not going to find on all of those big mail outs that bombard your inbox. And then we got chatting about doing an episode together, and she was like, I have got to talk about Lymington. You're going to love this episode. Enjoy. So, Catherine, where are you unlocking for us today?
Today, I'm unlocking the beautiful coastal town of Lymington in the south coast of the UK.
Which I love, because the areas outside of London in the UK, in my opinion, are largely overlooked by international tourists. They don't think to go out into the country. They don't know it's there, maybe. And British tourists don't even consider our own country. We flee abroad, and there's so much for us to enjoy in the UK.
I think that's absolutely true. And especially of the New Forest. So many people don't actually know the New Forest. Plenty of people from the southeast, they drive straight past to go down to Cornwall. A lot of people up north often come down to the sandy beaches of Dorset. So a lot of people don't know the New Forest is there and the beautiful town of Lymington. But the people that have discovered it are very passionate. And we see repeat visits year after year because they love it. They can't believe they found such a beautiful gem in England, and they return time and time again.
If you were to describe Lymington and take us on a sort of a whistle-stop tour, what would you include for us?
So Lymington is sort of cocooned by the New Forest. So it's right on the coast, and it's a very historic Georgian market town, a very broad high street. We still have car parking, thank goodness, on the high street. It's about a mile long. It's full of independent businesses, beautiful restaurants, beautiful hotels, fantastic shops. And then at the end of the high street, it goes down into the famous Lymington Cobbles, which is a beautiful walk down to Lymington Quay, which is still a working harbour. And it's just a gem. It has literally got everything you could ask for. It is where the forest meets the sea. And there's not many places like that in the UK. And it's still got a thriving economy. So it's a beautiful place to live with a real sense of community and a very authentic charm.
It's good for people who love the outdoors as well, because when the weather's nice, you've got the gorgeous coastal path.
The coastal path is absolutely stunning, and you can walk all the way down to Hurst Spit and see the castle there. And also we've got the ferry that takes you to Yarmouth, and you can explore the Isle of Wight from Lymington. So that's a gem. We've also got one of the oldest outdoor lidos in the world, the Lymington Salt Pool Water Baths. And it's a phenomenal place to visit if you've got young children. It's got an inflatable obstacle course, and you can do kayaking. Lymington's got an amazing maritime history, but it was also a place where they used to produce salt in the 17th and 18th centuries. So the salt pool and the salt swimming pool, the outdoor lido, is really a gem. And a lot of people don't even know that's there. A lot of people who live in the New Forest don't know that's there. So that is definitely a secret bit of advice I could give to see when you come to Lymington.
And is the saltwater lido open year round?
No, it's open for 6 months of the year. So high summer, sort of May to October, I think. But it's fantastic value for money. It's still run by the council. They keep the cost of entrance cheap. It's wonderful. And there's lots of lovely bars around, so you can get a nice meal afterwards when you've burnt off all that energy. And it's right next door to the harbour. And there's loads of sailing courses in Lymington. It's a big sailing town. It's got a fantastic maritime history. And it's set in the New Forest. So to have the open outdoors with the ponies and the wild animals, it's a really beautiful part of the world. If you enjoy camping, if you enjoy walking, but also if you want to see some beautiful places to shop at and to eat, it's got it all.
Yeah, the high street is more of a boutique-y high street, isn't it?
Yeah, very much so. Yeah, it's actually a hub for ladies. There's about 8 independent ladies wear boutiques, but it's also a bit of a destination for foodies. We've got the Elderflower, which is one of the most renowned restaurants in the country. That's on Lymington Cobbles. That's wonderful. We've also got the High Street Kitchen, run by Gavin Barnes, which is a fantastic venue serving local, beautiful food. Not as expensive as you would think at all. We've also got Stanwell's Boutique Hotel. And that is a stunning hotel that underwent a huge refurbishment a couple of years ago. And the number of people that hotel brings to the town is wonderful. We have a lot of visitors, both national and international, that stay there for a couple of nights and explore the high street, walk down the cobbles, visit the yachting areas. And there's some very nice businesses there. There's also some gems, some smaller companies. There's Cottingham's, which is down a little side alleyway. And that's a family-run coffee shop with beautiful giftware, but also the most delicious coffee and lunches you could dream of. So it is actually a destination for foodies as well as shoppers.
And what sort of things are on the menu? If you were to design a dream day or 2 days in Lymington and centre it all around food, and you can eat anything you want and no calories count, what are you eating?
Well, definitely crab. Crab is a Lymington specialty, and you can get crab sandwiches down at the quay, which is lovely. If you can get a table at the Elderflower, I definitely recommend that. They make their own butter. Anywhere that makes their own butter gets to the top of my list. I would always go to the High Street Kitchen because Gavin Barnes has done something wonderful there, and it's fantastic value for money. I'm a bit in love with the art gallery in Lymington. So St. Barb's is a museum and art gallery in the town centre. And that was redesigned, I think, about 8 years ago now. And they added a beautiful cafe to the front of the museum. And it's fantastic teas, scones, homemade soup for £5 or £6. And it's just wholesome. It's a wholesome place. A lot of the community are there, other than the more touristy destinations. So I would definitely recommend eating at St. Barb's Museum for a nice lunch.
And there's lots of New Forest produce that's available. So it's local stuff.
Absolutely. New Forest honey, a New Forest shortbread. We've got a lot of smaller producers in the New Forest. The New Forest, I think it was designated a national park about 2005. And as a result of that, the area's been protected and businesses have been protected. So there's no out-of-town business parks. There's not many huge supermarkets around. And that has sort of given a bubble of protection for smaller producers, smaller suppliers, smaller shops to grow and invest. And one of the best things about Lymington is the Saturday market. So I would definitely recommend coming to Lymington on a Saturday. And one of the reasons that is a phenomenal market to visit is the council haven't been too greedy. I think they charge about £25 to £30 for a stand. And because the high street is about a mile long and very wide, it means on a Saturday you get 100 or 150 small producers all coming to the town without having to risk too much outlay. So you get a really diverse offering of local produce. So we're very lucky to have the Saturday market in Lymington.
And that Saturday's year round?
Year round, absolutely. I do recommend you come early. If you come at midday, you're not going to get a parking space, especially on a Saturday. But yeah, it is year round and we get day visits from all over, often very weekly, from Reading, Basingstoke, Salisbury, Winchester. If you imagine that the whole of the UK was booming, this is what our town centres would look like. Lymington somehow was held on to a thriving economy and a community-based economy. And we're very lucky for that. And I hope it continues. But when you come, you think, oh my goodness, this is amazing. I'd forgotten that towns and city centres could be like this.
It is amazing. It sort of harks back to a glory day that didn't need to end or hasn't ended in Lymington's case. It's community, it's buzzing, it's variety. And people
Absolutely.
Come from very local, but also from regional. to experience it and get together.
Very much so. And they're very passionate about the town. But it's also become a hub of culture, which is quite interesting. So the largest city near us is Southampton. And Southampton's actually very difficult to get to. It's very difficult to park. It's not that safe at night. And Lymington's really benefited from this. So the evening economy is really doing very well. And we've got a beautiful church in the centre of the high street called St. Thomas's Church, which is very unique. It's got a Georgian gallery all around the top. And this venue has become a real destination for classical music fans. So, for example, in May, we have the Solent Music Festival that is run by a phenomenal world-class pianist called Sam Hayward. And he brings the most incredible world-famous musicians to Lymington every year. I've seen Stephen Isles there. I've seen the King Singers there. And then outside of that, we also have our own professional orchestra called the Nova Forester Classical Players, run by Phil Deshandy, who, again, is a phenomenal cellist. And they've just created a series of concerts throughout the whole year that the whole town and community and people who love classical music in Hampshire have started coming to. So that's very interesting. We've got a beautiful community centre. We've got our own cinema in Lymington as well. So the nighttime economy is really improving based on some of the more difficult and poor decisions of perhaps the surrounding larger cities.
Do you know, I think people listening to this might not be thinking about visiting Lymington as a holiday. They might be thinking of moving there.
Well, they do. The reason why I'm so passionate about Lymington is I'm one of the very lucky shopkeepers that have a shop in Lymington. And every year I have people that come back and they come and shop with me. And then 4 or 5 years later, they'll go, this time we're house hunting. So that happens all the time. When people discover Lymington, when they discover the New Forest, you know, within a few years, actually, they decide this is going to be a lovely place to live. And I've got everything I could need. And you still have a butcher's, you still have a veg shop, all those things that actually where you know the owner of the shop and you can see that they care about what they do. And there is that personal connection and sense of community. I do know everybody's business and I like knowing everybody's business. I like saying, how is your dad? How did your daughter get on at school today? And Lymington still has that. One of the reasons we still have that is for many years we've had free parking on the high street, which we've just recently lost. So it'll be interesting to see if the economy can continue to be protected in the long term. But one of the second reasons there are so many independent businesses in Lymington is because of the architecture. A lot of the buildings are actually very small. They just don't suit multinationals. And that's given us protection as independents to continue. So my shop is bang in the centre of the high street and it's about 1,000 years old. You can still see the Tudor beams. It's very small. I wish it was bigger. I would do very well if it was bigger. And then in the 1930s, it was a watchmaker's. So we have the most beautiful curved glass windows, an Art Deco front door, and combined with sort of the medieval architecture behind and the Georgian architecture on the front, it's a very interesting architectural environment that has actually boosted a very diverse collection of businesses.
Is this the sort of place where you need to have your own car to do it? Or can you get there easily by train or by bus?
We've got our own train station in Lymington and it goes straight to the ferry terminal, actually. So there's a train station at the bottom of the high street, fantastic bus routes. The New Forest is a destination for cyclists, off-road cycling. There are hundreds and hundreds of miles of off-road bike routes in Lymington, but it's also a destination for people that use cars as well. One of the reasons the Lymington economy is doing so well is we have lots of car parks and they're very fairly priced and they're not multi-stories and they're all very close to the town centre. So it attracts everybody regardless of how you're driving. And of course, you can always get to Lymington by yacht.
It's a different way to arrive, isn't it?
It is, but it happens, you know, and we quite like it when they arrive in the summer. You know, all of the shops and restaurants get a boost. I don't think we've got helipads, but, you know, maybe.
You can put one
maybe
in.
Somebody will correct me.
What about if people want to make it from London? The train station's connected in from London?
Oh, fantastic. From London Waterloo, 90 minutes to Brockenhurst Station, and then change, and it's 15 minutes into Lymington Town Centre.
Sounds super easy.
Have I sold it to you?
You have. I'm moving. Tell me more about your shop on the high street.
So my shop is 33 Boutique. It's a designer ladies' wear store. I've got three shops altogether. one in Bournemouth, one in Wimborne. But the one in Lymington is my flagship store and I absolutely adore it. It's very small. I've got loads of support from the community. And then in the summer, I have all the tourists. So I count my blessings every day. I have about 40 designer labels, a lot of the labels you might see in Selfridges or some of the most beautiful places in London. I do have a variety of prices and I'm very careful about what I pick. I make sure I pick things that ladies don't see elsewhere. And I try, wherever possible, to get pieces of clothing where if you walk out in something you've bought from me, other people go, wow, where's that from? That's my goal.
It's so nice to have something which is special. I really believe in the power of clothing.
Me too. Oh, me too. It can change how you feel. Totally. Yes. Yeah. It's not just about showing off. It can be about confidence. It can be about lift. And I think it's also about health. It's an interesting point that I don't see made very often, but natural fabrics are actually very good for us to wear. So I sell a lot of linen, silk, wool, cashmere. That's where we try and focus our efforts on beautiful clothes that last a long time.
Oh, I'm a big believer in linen. Apart from in the winter, I live in linen. I love it.
And that wasn't a line I was expecting you to say today.
And I'm big on materials that haven't been treated with so many chemicals as well. That's something Absolutely. People don't realise about the fast fashion world is all of the cloth is drenched in chemicals.
Come and work for me. I need you to talk about this in my boutiques because this is exactly, I agree with you 100%. And we actually have untreated cashmere, which is very rare. But the ladies that understand it, they really value it for the same reasons that you said. And I mean, linen, if you're traveling around the world, you cannot beat linen in hot countries.
Yeah.
It's just fantastic. And a lot of people complain that it creases, but that's the charm of it. And all you've got to do is spray it with a bit of water, hang it up and it'll drop out the next day.
There's and that's how people know you're wearing linen.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
Oh, yeah. I got the linen as a travel wardrobe, really. I spent... Very fortunately, I spent a lot of time in very hot places, and so I needed a wardrobe that matched.
Yes, and linen is not as expensive as you'd think. You know, we have plenty of linen pieces under £60, and they last forever. You know, and they look fantastic. Yeah, so I'm a big fan of linen. We sell a lot of linen in Lymington. A lot of white jeans too, and navy tops.
Oh, all very
stylish.
The
whole maritime look.
Yes. And so yeah. I'm guessing that 33 boutique means that you are number 33 on the high street?
Yes, we are, yeah.
And so that also gives away the naming of another part of what you do. And I was going to ask where the number 33 came from. Now I realise. Tell us about your travel club.
So I have a gorgeous little travel club where I send out weekly discounts to my members for some of the most beautiful hotels in the UK and abroad. There's thousands of us. We love nice places. We love supporting nice places. But we also don't want to use booking platforms. We want to support British hospitality. We want to support family-run hotels, family-run businesses. We don't want to use Booking.com or Expedia or the other sort of travel clubs where they take 25, 30%. So with the partners I work with, I've got to like them. It's got to be luxury. And I don't charge them anything. I don't take a cut. I don't take a fee. I just ask, please, could they pass that discount on to my members? And if they do, I send it out to all my lovely members and they get loads of bookings free of charge direct to their website. So it's a fantastic travel club. 50% of the offers I send are UK, 50% are abroad. We have villas and cruises and international packages, but all picked by me. So you don't get thousands of emails a week with offers and you can't figure out which one to go to. So it is quite curated and quite niche.
So did this start as a passion project just because you love going away to really nice places and then you started to build relationships? Or are you the person that people in Lymington pop in and whilst they're looking at a nice new dress or a pantsuit, they're saying, have you been anywhere nice recently, Catherine?
It's actually closer to the latter, particularly in my Bournemouth boutique. So about 5 years ago, I took over a very renowned boutique in the centre of Bournemouth. And that was quite a different environment to Lymington. And our clients there would ask me for recommendations, a lot more holiday makers, more throughout the year in Bournemouth than in Lymington. And they did expect us to book nice restaurants for them or recommend a nice hotel. And then eventually over the years, when those hotels were a little bit quieter, they'd phone me up. to say, have you got any ladies that would be interested? We could give them a room upgrade, we could give them free breakfast, or they would offer a treat. And then one year I thought, you know, I'm going to make this official. And I said to my ladies, who wants to join me? I'm going to do a travel club. Give me a token, £12.50 a year, just to cover the administration costs and the time that I spend with the hotels. And they all joined. And it's just gone from strength to strength from there, really.
How could people join?
Just visit my website, www.club33luxurytravel.com. You get one email a week from me with luxury travel offers, and you book direct. Super easy.
It sounds fantastic. And I like the fact that it's personally curated based on real relationships, and it's not incessant. Certain travel-based emails become too much. I've signed up to some where I get them daily, and actually I'm not up for it daily, but I look forward to receiving something weekly.
Yes, absolutely. Nobody wants to be bombarded by emails. I think that's a tough sell. You know, my business is sending emails to a lot of people who don't want emails. So I do keep it very curated and strictly only one a week. They are getting longer because we're getting some amazing offers. So I need to have a think about how I manage that going forward. But also with the subscriptions, you know, some of these travel clubs, they charge £50, £60, £70 a year. Well, if you haven't used it for the year, that's just not good value for money. So I'm quite determined to keep the membership at £12.50 a year. And I also think there's a lot of people that like very nice places that aren't millionaires, mm-hmm. that actually they will save up to go somewhere nice. And if I keep the membership cost at £12.50 a year, it means everyone can join if they want to. Even if they're just taking their mum out to a five-star hotel for an afternoon tea just the once, it will be the best value, £12.50 they've ever spent. So yeah, it's quite a different approach. And I think that's why we're growing so fast. Mm.
Yeah, essentially use it once and it's already paid for itself, which
definitely
you can't lose. Because if we look at the vast majority of us go away at least once. And then a lucky selection of us go away for a couple of extra long weekends, maybe a second main holiday as well. So those people are going to make even more use of it. But everybody's going to make use of an afternoon tea deal as well.
Absolutely. And we've got tours of vineyards and beautiful things. Sometimes we have tickets to the opera. Sometimes we have sporting packages. But just like in my boutique, I try to make sure I have a diverse price range so that there is something for everybody's budget. The qualifying factor is it luxury? Is it beautiful? And you can get some very, very beautiful five-star visits and five-star hotel stays for not as much money as you would think. And especially with what's happening in pubs, particularly the prices of a meal in a pub is getting very, very high for quite ordinary meals. And actually, if you do go to a five-star hotel, especially at lunchtime, you see some incredible deals for £18 or £19 for two or three courses of some of the finest food you will ever eat in your life. So I think I'm a big champion of people doing the very best they can at the very best value for the general public, because that's what the British economy needs. And it's those companies that I try to find and try to share and give the support of my club members. And with my members, I try to encourage an ethos of support. So I do say to everybody, if by any bit of bad luck you have a bad experience, please don't leave a negative review. Try and give the establishment the chance to put it right privately before you write their biggest mistake they've ever made publicly. That's there forever and they can never get removed. So it is very much an ethos of support for family-run businesses, beautiful establishments that really care about what they do.
And that comes back to the community, which comes back to Lymington, because that's the ethos of the place. I want to try you on some little quiz questions about Lymington. I'll give you five questions and anybody who's maybe visited before can play along. Some of them you've already given away the answers, so I know you're going to do well. Question one. Lymington sits on the edge of which national park?
New Forest.
Correct. Easy point. Okay. I think you're going to get the next one too.
Really?
What island can you reach by ferry from Lymington?
The Isle of Wight.
Indeed.
The gorgeous Isle of Wight, I should say.
It's had an upgrade already. I'll give you the next one. You're definitely going to get this because you've already mentioned it as well. But what type of boats are Lymington famously associated with?
Yachts.
And I think you're all delighted to be associated with them.
very much so. It helps.
Yeah,
definitely helps. Although just a bit further down the road, we've got Butler's Hard, which was where the huge ships from the 1800s were built.
Ooh, so it used to be a shipbuilding area as well.
Yeah, yeah. It's a lovely place to visit, yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's just a couple of miles down from Lymington, yeah.
Mm. Next question. What popular open-air attraction was founded in 1833?
Oh, that's got to be the Lido.
Yeah.
It is the oldest one in the UK, I believe. Yeah,
oh,
it's pretty impressive.
Now that's a claim.
I think it is, yeah.
Yeah, the Lido, the seawater baths. It's, and it is salty water.
It is, yes. Oh, it's fantastic. Yes, I go in every year and I always feel better for having swum there. It's fantastic.
Another place that I think just makes me feel better going in is the New Forest. Tell me what animals roam freely in the New Forest. This is question five.
Donkeys, ponies, cattle. And then in the autumn, the pigs are let out for pannage, which is when they eat all the acorns so that the ponies don't get poisoned.
Wow. Gosh, you get more points than I was even going to give for that one. But I love that detail about why they let the pigs do that, because pigs can eat anything.
Yes, quite.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And the piglets, you can see the families and the piglets out. It's still exciting even now. Oh, and deer, I forgot deer. So when I drive home from Bournemouth, because I live in the middle of the New Forest, a little bit away from Lymington, it gives me a thrill every time I drive home when the clocks have changed and I drive through the dark and I see a herd of deer. I just love it. I'm so grateful for where I live.
I love the nature, the trees themselves. Then you add in the animals, it just gets, then you add in the seaside, it's
yes,
just gets
and the heathlands. The heathlands are stunning. Mm. When the heather turns purple, it's just some of the most beautiful sights you'll ever see.
And unlike a lot of places which we chat about on this podcast, it's not really a tourist hotspot in that it's not overrun by tourists. I often ask for that sort of local secret that gets you away from the tourists. But actually, I think you're sort of blessed that anybody who visits Lymington is naturally away from the tourists. They're getting a very low-key, luxurious visit.
Yes, very much. You might not find that on the way to Lymington. You will notice if you come in the summer months, you will hit some serious traffic around Lyndhurst, for example. You could sit there for an hour trying to get to Lymington. And sometimes in August, Lymington can be a little bit slightly more overrun. But compared to, no, it's not an overrun tourist destination. Yeah, it's not so well known.
And in terms of the wider area, maybe thinking about Lyndhurst, maybe think about the New Forest generally, are there any tips that you would share with people who are thinking about making it as a trip, don't want to fall into those sort of big tourist traps and want to do something more authentic, but it's going to be a really great memory?
Yes, well, I would definitely check your sat-nav before you leave and do your best to avoid Lyndhurst in high summer. For being a little bit off the beaten track, I would look at the north of the New Forest. It's really stunning and it's much quieter. There aren't as many towns and villages there, but in terms of walks and ponds and heathlands, it's really beautiful to come down the motorway and turn right into the New Forest rather than left. There's a lot more to see there and lots of farm shops, and there are cottages you can rent, but also camping. The New Forest is fantastic for camping, so I couldn't recommend that highly enough. Fantastic value for money as well. Plenty of campsites in the New Forest, and if you bring your bikes, that's a wonderful trip where a lot of the villages are connected by off-road cycle routes. So I would definitely recommend that.
And you mentioned about bringing your bike. Is it possible to hire bikes nearby as well, or do you want to come with them?
Yes, there is. No, you can hire bikes in Brockenhurst and in Burley in particular. Burley's a hot spot for tourists. Yeah, so there's plenty of... Oh, and there's one. There's a fantastic bike shop in Lyndhurst that I would highly recommend that has great coffee too.
I noticed that a lot of your recommendations do have an attached cafe.
I'm a bit addicted to coffee, what can I say? But also, most of them are independent and I love giving my money to independent businesses. So, I spend a fortune on coffee shops.
But I love it. It is like changing the era that you're in. It's like moving out of this hectic present day, which causes so much stress for people, and taking us just back in time enough to still have all of the comforts, but to also reconnect with what I call a human pace of life.
Very much so. Yes, yes. If you're lucky enough to be able to afford to live in the New Forest, it does have it all. I mean, even just, you can hire a kayak down at the Lymington Cobbles. I think it's £20 or £30 for a few hours, and you can just go and paddle away on the Solent. It's just, you know, the New Forest. Lymington is the New Forest meets the sea. So if you love the outdoors and you need to get away from your office, or you need to just connect with nature again, it's a lovely place to do so.
For people who are visiting from abroad, what would you say is the custom for tipping in local independent cafes or restaurants?
There's not a lot of tipping in the local cafes, but the restaurants are quite similar to London. So 12.5% often automatically added. We are very blessed with hotels in the area. So we do have some of the most beautiful hotels in the world just within a few miles of Lymington. So we have Limewood, we have Chewton Glen, we have the Pig at Brockenhurst, and we have Stanwell House Hotel in the High Street. And all of these are exceptional hotels for international travellers, where you get a real feel for the area and the local produce as well.
The wrap-up, round-up, quick-fire finish is now ready for boarding.
What would you say is the top thing to see or do?
Oh, in Lymington, do you know, I love the Seafood Festival. Come in August, come and see the Seafood Festival. It is fabulous. The town is buzzing, and the delights on offer in terms of dining is pretty exciting.
And how long does the festival run for?
I think it's 3 days. Yes, and there's music and street food and lots of seafood. It's in a beautiful park overlooking the water, and the whole town comes alive for 3 or 4 days. So I would come to the Seafood Festival.
That sounds fantastic. What would you say is the top tourist trap to avoid?
It's the Lyndhurst roads. You do everything you can to avoid the traffic at Lyndhurst. You might have a lovely weekend planned and then be stuck there for 2 hours if you're not careful.
So take the routes around. Is there a route that you tend to take?
I'd like to travel by yacht if I had a choice. But I often go through Bewley. So that's a beautiful drive and a very historic place to see. And they've got the Bewley Motor Museum, which is also worth a visit.
I really like Bewley. Bewley's great. What's your favourite time of year for somebody to visit?
Oh, well, this is easy. There are 2 months that are sort of the sweet spot for Lymington and the New Forest, actually, June and September. It's still warm and you've got very, very few tourists around. Very few. It's just lovely. And it is warm on the south coast. So June and September, I would say, comes the New Forest during those months. Yeah, you've still got the weather, so you can do all the outdoor sort of things, but it's not overwhelmed.
Is there a top book or film that you'd recommend for somebody who wants to capture the spirit of Lymington before arriving?
Oh, I'm not sure. I can't think of any books linked to Lymington, but there's lots of authors linked to the New Forest. Arthur Conan Doyle is buried in Minstead. And also Alice from Alice in Wonderland is buried at Lyndhurst Church. So maybe Lewis Carroll and Arthur Conan Doyle, I would say, for the New Forest.
When you say that Alice from Alice in Wonderland is buried there, does that mean that she's based on a real girl?
Yes, she is. I think Alice Little, I think her name was. Yes, yeah. And it's a beautiful, a brick-built Victorian church at the top of Lyndhurst High Street. And she's buried just behind there.
Wow. I did not know that. Carl, fancy having a book like that written after you.
I know. Incredible. And you will see throughout Lyndhurst, you know, a lot of the shops reference Alice in Wonderland. There's a little Alice in Wonderland theme throughout Lyndhurst.
Oh, and some people are really big on Alice in Wonderland. It's a brand that has just captured people's imaginations.
Yes, absolutely. And actually, that burial site often has little trinkets left. And Arthur Conan Doyle, where he is buried, somebody always leaves a pipe on the gravestone there. And often it gets pinched and then somebody else puts another one back. It's like a cycle of pipes being left on Arthur Conan Doyle's grave.
Someone needs to open a pipe shop on the high street.
Yeah, definitely.
What would you say is the top food or drink to try?
I'd have to say crab, Lymington crab, in the summer months. Come down and get a crab sandwich.
And final question, if somebody's looking for an authentic souvenir, something to take home with them that will remind them of their visit, but there isn't a mass-produced something from China, what would you suggest?
Well, down by the cobbles, there are some beautiful gift shops that have handmade gifts from, you know, old boats and shells. And there's always something very unique down there. There's lots of homeware stores where they've made things locally. especially on the market as well on a Saturday. There's a lot of handmade gifts that are beautiful. I still have a soft spot for St. Barb's Art Museum and Gallery, and their gift shop has very unique and local gifts. So I would definitely recommend going there for something special.
Amazing stuff. Catherine of 33 Boutique in Livington and Club 33 Luxury Travel, which you can join from online anywhere. Thank you so much for unlocking Livington for us.
Thank you, Daniel.
Well, thank you again to Catherine of 33 Boutique in Livington and, of course, Club 33 Luxury Travel, that private members travel club with exclusive weekly discounts and access to the UK's most exceptional destinations, all in that one beautifully curated single email per week. Well, before you head off and have a wonderful rest of your day, do make sure you are following the Destination Unlocked podcast wherever you're currently listening so that you can rejoin us the next time you want to go armchair traveling somewhere beautiful. Have a great day. Bye-bye.